Welcome to Sober.Coffee, a weekly coffee chat sharing experience, strength, and hope for anyone on the sober road to recovery. You can download Sober.Coffee weekly on all podcast platforms and check us out on Instagram at Sober.Coffee Podcast and on Twitter at SoberCoffeePod. To learn more about us and to help support these sessions, visit online at Sober.Coffee. Here are your hosts, two guys on their own path to recovery, Mike and Glenn. Let's join them at the coffee shop.
Good morning, Mr. G.
Hey, what's happening, Mikey?
So, I love your shirt today, Hate Me.
I love it too,
man. Yeah, if anybody hasn't listened, the Blue October, A Night with Blue October is an episode. And by the way, you can go to sober.coffee, www.sober.coffee, and you can do a search in there. Search for Blue October. It was a great episode. Kind of long, two-parter. It's one part, but you can break it down into two parts. Really good stuff. And I'm sure people question that shirt. It says, Hate Me. But I don't think they know the meaning behind it. It was a good episode, good song.
Yeah, you know what? I really don't care what people think.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
10 years ago, did you care what people
Absolutely.
Think? How much? 100%. I mean, how much did it weigh on you?
Oh, I calculated at my whole life, I was a chameleon. My whole life is I would calculate every situation, every person, every meeting, every interaction, and say, what would that person expect from me? Or what would best serve me in this situation? And that's who I'd be.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't wear the shirt because people were like, well, what does he mean? Right? What, you know, I mean, I have my kind of my side hobby right now, and it's a lot cheaper than drinking, is, you know, I buy a lot of T-shirts. You know, I buy these T-shirts from social media. And, I mean, this Hate Me is Blue October. It's one of their biggest songs. It's like kind of their first biggest song. But, I mean, a lot of T-shirts are just, you know, they're statements that I just feel like making, and I really don't care what people think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And
so that's
it's a different way of living, man. It's freeing.
It's interesting. Do you consider yourself a people pleaser?
I still
or
am.
Or is it a different category?
No, I've been a people pleaser my whole life, and I think I identify that because I just never felt good enough. You know, I was adopted, and I just think, I mean, from first grade, I always wanted to prove myself. I always wanted to be the best. I always wanted to overachieve. I just wanted to be enough, and I never felt like I was good enough. And so I always had to be the best. And when I was the best at something, I said, well, maybe that's good enough. You know, that was the only scorecard, right? And I mean, there wasn't any, like, you know, hey, man, all this sobriety shit. I've been to more doctors, more PhDs, more head shrinks, more therapists, whatever you want to call them. I had a panel of 10 PhDs at you know, Rush for, you know, I was in a program for highly functional people that weren't functioning. And
was that actually the tag? Highly functional people that aren't functioning?
No, that's what I call
okay,
it. But
thank you.
I mean, no, it was a program for the highly functional people. And,
yeah.
and like, there was a guy writing his thesis, right? And it was stuck. He physically could not write another word. And there was a disconnect between his brain and his hand. I mean, he literally could not write another word. I mean, he was burned out, whatever. And so, you know, I remember one of my earliest memories is in first grade, we had a book reading contest, and I read 26 books, and second place read 8.
Wow.
And so I told this panel of 10 PhDs, they're like, Glenn, the fact that, I mean, that was kind of a really, and I have some other stories of first grade, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, man, that just, you know, in third grade, you know, I was asked to play in the high school jazz band, trumpet, you know, and you know, I was trying to find ways to be good enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And finally here today, you know what? I'm good enough.
Isn't that a Michael Jordan thing?
Yeah. You know what? I just sit there and say, you know what? First of all, I don't have to be the best anymore, you know, because it takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot to go from 99% to 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just does. And 99 is okay. In fact, I live my life. 92 is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I deliver 92%, I'm okay with that. You know, that really relieves a lot of stuff. But I really, I mean, at times I do care. But you know what? I do my best, what I think's my best, and I just lay it out there. And you know what? One of our favorite chats that we've talked about. I mean, chocolate ice cream is one of the most delicious things out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody likes chocolate.
Right.
And no matter, I mean, if you're on social media or whatever, I mean, there's people on every side of every fence.
Right.
Nobody is 100%. Do you get 100% agreement on anything?
Right.
So just do your best. Sign up for what you believe is a good program. I've signed up for the AAA 12 Steps, and I believe in the AA 12 Steps and that way to live. I believe in my spiritual path 100% because I have the proof. And if people want to, you know, mock it, if people want to disagree with it, that's fine. They don't like chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the facts.
Right. I have a little different bent. So I never had that Excel to get the stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along life, maybe it was my stature, you know, kind of a smaller guy, you know, kind of the first one in the let's line up by height. You know, I was the first one in the line, the last one to be picked for kickball.
Mm-hmm. Did that bother you being less? Were you just used to it?
I just got used to it, and I realized I was never going to be good at kickball because obviously the masses had told me I'm no good at kickball. So I didn't even try at kickball. But what I did was I wanted to be liked by the other kickball players. So I would say this people pleaser thing is something that was in me. I think it's something that still is in me. It's still a work in progress for me. I'm more confident in myself and I love the chocolate ice cream scenario. Not everyone's going to like me, period, end. I mean, they're just not going to like me. They're not going to like the way I come off.
It doesn't matter what you do.
It doesn't matter what I do. They're not going to like me. They're not going to like my politics. They're not going to like my style. They're not going to like my smile. I'm becoming more comfortable with that notion that I'm not everybody's chocolate ice cream. But I still, if I end up at an intersection at the same time with the other guy, I want him to like me. You go first. He's a guy at an intersection. So I know I'm still battling with that, but it doesn't cause me to drink. It doesn't cause me to think to drink. But it, as we said last week, it's a bit of a check engine light. And my wife calls me out on it all the time. You know, you can't please everybody, right?
Yeah, so here's the thing that sticks out for me that I don't know where this is going, but I know I am still working on being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of, you know, self-help stuff. I always try to get better. I'm trying to change. I'm trying to do better than yesterday.
Self-improvement is fantastic.
Right, element. Right. So, I'm still trying. But, like, you know, like when I go somewhere that requires a tip, right? Mm-hmm. I tend to overtip. And why do you overtip?
Well, I do it for two reasons. Honestly, because I'm empathetic to the server.
That's one of the reasons I do it, because I came up in the service industry.
Right, and I've got family in the service industry. Yep. So that's why I do it. But I'm. Let's confess what it is. I mean, I want them to like me for the next time I'm there. I think that's still in play for me.
Do you overtip in places where you're not going to go again?
Yes.
So do I. Like I was just out in Vegas, and I
you
overtipped
tipped the 7-Eleven guy, didn't you?
No, I overtipped my cab driver, right? And I just, I don't know. I mean, I recognize I did it because I'm so hyper aware of everything I do, and I'm like, why would you overtip the guy, right? I mean, one is, hey, man, I appreciate he's
is that the dude that asked you why you were in Vegas?
No, that I did overtip him.
That's hysterical. That was,
but, you know, I think I'm still a work in progress there, right? I still want to be good enough. And I mean, here's what I have found. And, you know, I talked to my wife about it recently. I mean, she just doesn't get me. I swear, there's times she looks at me and she's like, what in the world goes on in that head of yours?
Or you both know? Of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, just, oh, my gosh, you know. And right, she's just like, Glenn, why don't you change that? I'm like, I've been that way since I was born, mm-hmm. right? Since my first memories in first grade. Mm-hmm. How do you can't change that
mm-hmm.
at 60. Mm-hmm. You just got to roll with it, mm-hmm. you know? But, yeah, let's go back to that cab driver in
yeah,
Vegas.
Yeah, right? Well, did first we tell of all, that story?
No. But first of all, full transparency, Mike is not allowed in Vegas anymore. So
True story.
Yeah, I think your picture's still at the airport. They have facial recognition, make sure that you don't walk through the tunnels.
We think it'd be best if you left the city.
Yeah. And don't come back. Right. But we, I'm out in Vegas for a conference, right? And I get there on a Sunday afternoon, and I jump in a cab, and the cabbie's trying to be of service, right? And he says, hey, man, so I told him the hotel I was going to, and he goes, hey, why don't we stop by a liquor store? He goes, do you want some liquor? And he goes, how about weed?
He goes, you're not answering at this point.
No, I just think it's funny. I mean, he said it kind of quick. And then he goes, how about a girlfriend while you're here? And the guy was just trying to be helpful, right? And that's probably what 80% of guys do when they go to Vegas.
Maybe 90.
Maybe 90, maybe all but me. But, I'm like, hey, dude, I said, first of all, I said, I appreciate the hospitality, and I said, but A, I said, I don't drink. I haven't drank in 9 years. And I said, and weed, I hate weed. Weed's stupid. And I said, and I got an awesome wife. I said, so just take me to my hotel. It's crazy.
And what did he say?
He said, oh, okay, yes, sir, good for you.
And he's thinking, what the?
You're a pastor.
How is this guy? That's right.
He's like, what are you doing in Vegas?
He's
like, what are you doing in Vegas? But, man, I'll tell you what. When I was in Vegas, I was, I was up at 2, 3 in the morning. But, there were people there that were hurt. In the morning. And that's just a shame, man. I used to live that life. And, you get so much more accomplished, if you're not all boozed out.
Yeah. So, hey, we still got some time. I think that we were going to talk about something today.
Well, I just thought about, we live life and we talk outside the show. And, something that has come up, again, we're both hyper aware, right, of how we live life and kind of what we go through and the tools that we use and kind of what bucket we're in. And as we talked recently about the check engine light, we're very aware when our check engine light's on. And I think one of the things that just wanted to pop out for a couple of minutes is expectations, right? Because our expectations for ourselves and most importantly others, I think expectations, can be the fuel of resentments, right? And I think they're caution flags, yeah. Right? So let's just chat through what expectations that you kind of have, how you handle that, how you go through life, because you have family, you have employees, right. You have bosses, you have, friends,
right. Sure.
You're in groups, right?
There's situations that I have expectations for. Tying it back to what we talked about at the opening here, I have expectations for myself. I will think that I need to be a certain way in a certain scenario, and that's an element for me that I have to pay attention to. But to answer your question, yes, I have expectations of other people. I think that's my lead drive. I have expectations from other people that I expect they're going to think like me. They're going to act like me. They're going to respond the way I want them to respond. And that's typically how I go into a scenario, is I have an expectation. We'll talk a little bit about what I've learned as we go forward.
All right. Well, let's break this down into two kind of pathways, right? Okay. So let's talk about our expectations of ourself, mm-hmm. and then expectations of others, mm-hmm. right? Okay. I think they're two totally different animals, right? Because mm-hmm. one you can control.
Yes.
And one you can't.
That's right. Oh, yeah, good point.
Right?
Yep, good point.
So give me an example of a self-expectation and what that looks like, how you handle it, what do you do?
Then or now?
Now.
Now, okay. So now I'm going into a scenario. I've been out to Vegas. I snuck back into the city. And
have you really?
Uh-huh. And I had to go for business.
When was this?
Post-sobriety.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They actually let you in.
Yeah, they actually let me in. Wow. And, but I had expectations.
Did you use a different name?
Huh? No. I used a different... I wore sunglasses and a
That's
mustache.
Awesome. That's awesome.
But I guess my expectation there was, you know, I'm going to be confronted with the memory of what was, and I'm going to be tempted, right? So I kind of knew that going in, that I'd be in a stressful scenario, right? So maybe this is too impactful, but I walk into many scenarios that I think are going to be a stressful scenario, and how am I going to respond? I'm either going to anxiety myself to death, I'm going to stress myself out, or I'm just going to, as some people like to hear, I'm going to go with the flow, right? So I find myself often at intersections of how am I going to handle the situation I'm about to walk into, right? Because, and here's the key word, how am I going to handle it? Unfortunately or fortunately, there's always somebody on the other side of the equation. To your point, I can only handle what I can handle. I can't handle the other person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and so I think, you know, self-expectations is, like, the way I think of that is, you know, how I expect to live my life today, right? How I expect to interact with people, how I expect to be accountable, how I expect to, you know, handle myself with people, speak to, you know, other people, react to other people, right? You know, things I expect to do and not to do, right? You know, I have work responsibilities. I have family responsibilities. You know, I have my own health that, you know, that I need to deal with, right? And so what I have found with the self-expectations is when I miss those, right, it's almost like the drinking thing, right? When I set an expectation of myself, I'm not going to drink today, and then by 10 o'clock I'm drinking.
Right.
Right. I mean, that really messes with your head, right? That messes with the head. That said, oh, that's a shame, remorse, self-hate. Oh, you did it again. You're a loser. I mean, I have some of the most harshest self-talk,
right?
Because I'm hard on myself.
Right. I think that's such a valid point. I think that is such a valid point.
Yeah.
I just whip myself
sometimes and... But I have high expectations, and I need to be as loving for myself as I am with others. I think I'm more loving with others today than I am myself. I'm pretty harsh on myself, you know. So, you know, that can be fuel to sit there and say, I mean, I don't deserve the self-hate, loathing, shame, guilt, remorse, all those fun words. I don't deserve that today. I don't live in that space.
But it's funny how it seeps back in.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think it's habit. You know, it's just, you know, it's part of how we're wired and, right? And then expectations of others.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, that's just, I think the best way to live life is to have a zero. Because then when, if you expect people to live at a five, and they come in at a three, that two, that difference of two is a problem.
Right.
With how you deal with it, with how you look at it, with how you feel, you've been hurt, you've been wronged, you've been whatever, right? And what I have found, and kind of like the B team, kind of like back of the bus, whatever, you know, metaphor we want to use, I have found living expectations of zero and people come in at a two, that's where you love life.
Yeah.
That's where you're at peace with life and life's good. The minute you expect five and somebody gives you two, you're off.
You have hit the nail on the head.
You're off.
Of the transformation that's happened in my life in the past 5 years. Because, like, I've got, for example, I'm going away next week for an event. Glenn, I'm not looking forward to it, right? It's not my thing. But I'm going, right? So I got two options here. I can either put my expectations at a minus 10, right? In a negative way, right? I can put it at a minus 10. I'm going to have a terrible time. Or I can just put them at zero. I could just have them at minus 10 or zero to minus 10, right? Then anything that happens beyond that is a bonus. I'm going in the positives, right?
I think that's sixth of life is living the bonus.
Right.
Is to set up your expectations so you're always living in the bonus. I think that's where you get reward, you get peace, you get happiness, you get, because if not, you're always, what's it, irritable, cranky, discontent.
Yeah, irritable, right, something, right.
Right. I mean, hey, you know, I have expectations of you know, things and people around me. You know, like, I mean, I don't want to use specific examples, but I got some great examples where I expect, you know, basics, you know, which could be a one.
Right.
And zero is delivered.
Right.
And so my approach today is, instead of expecting the one for somebody.
Expect the zero.
Somebody to do something. You know, what I actually do? I actually, land up doing it myself. Because I'm like, you know what? Rather than expecting them to do it.
Right.
And not do it. And me get cranked and pissed and whatever. You know, instead of expecting zero, I do the next step. I will go ahead and do it myself.
Right.
And that way, I'm like, hey, that's done. I know it's done. And you know what? I can't own that person. I can't own what that person does or doesn't do. Right? I'm going to live my life.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it is starting to be freeing. And when you have expectations of people, you know, that can really be fuel for resentments.
Yep.
You know, like I have a guy at work. I have expectations and, you know, a long story, but I mean, in business, you got to have expectations of people, right?
Right. Accountability.
And, yeah, I did a deal, and the expectations was at level 10,
right,
and the delivering level 3. You know, and I mean, that, and I got to pick up the load, and that's a heavy load, and so, you know, I mean, I've made some adjustments and things to level things out, but I mean, it's a good exercise. To kind of think about expectations and where your expectations of others. You can't change others. I mean, one of my favorite lines at work, because, you know, I have a guy at work, and he thinks everybody should operate how he thinks they should operate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, you alligators don't fly. Like, it doesn't matter how much you think that alligator should fly, that alligator will never fly.
Mm-hmm.
Never, never, never. So the problem isn't with the alligator. The problem's with you,
because
that alligator's not going to fly, you know. And I said, look, there's some things that I do at work that I'm good at, and there's some things at work. You ask me to type some formulas in an Excel spreadsheet or do some pivot tables.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. Doesn't make me not good at the other things I know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to sit there and expect me to pull up an Excel spreadsheet and crank out these formulas and build out a whole, you know, financial model and pro forma. You're asking an alligator to fly. I can't do it.
Right.
So, you know, that's just something, you know, and he cranks through his head like, I call it head trash. You know, he just lives in that head trash space because he expects all these things from all these people that they will never deliver.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, there's an easier way to live.
Right.
You know? And so I think through AA and through working with my sponsor's really helped with this. And I'm like, hey, they, he goes, what are you using the word they for? You can't control them.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what they do is none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who cares what they do?
Right.
You know, and he really, I can hear his voice, you know? So I think, I think expectations are like the check engine light, right? Of going through your day and what you expect of people.
You know? I love the bonus. Live it in the bonus, because occasionally, you know, an alligator can't fly. I'll give you that, but they do jump. I mean, they do leap. So if your expectation is their belly's always going to be on the ground, but if your expectation is that alligator isn't going to fly, you'll be pleased when it does jump at the guy in the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, it's really freeing to live at zero.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, there's some things in life you have to expect, you know, I get it, right? I'm not saying, but in general, especially with family and kids and, I mean, God, dealing with kids, their brains aren't developed and, you know. And,
Wait, you're suggesting ours are?
Well, yeah, totally. Part of my issue is I expect people to have a childhood like I had, you know, driven and working at 9. And I worked in a drugstore at 12. I made $1 an hour. And then at 16 through high school, I basically worked a full-time job. And then, you know, in college summers, you know, I worked myself through college. In college summers, I had 2 full-time jobs. And right, that's my life.
That's your life,
right? And that's what I know. And that's what I know to be successful. And I know what that delivers. And then when I see people around me, that lay around all day and don't do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big gap.
That's a big gap, yeah.
From 0 to 100, right?
Right.
And you know, it's hard. But you know what? Alligators don't fly. And you can't change other people.
Right.
And so the only thing I can change is me and my own expectations.
Love it.
You know, and we have a brother, Big Bill, man, who's really helped me with that. You know, really helped me understand what I can control and what I cannot control. And I can control me, and I control my expectations. And, I mean, 0-0. And I'm very aware when I say, you know what, I expect 5, but let's operate at 0.
Yeah, right.
And then I get 2. And then I'm like, hey.
That worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I'm like, hey.
I only put half the dishes in the dishwasher.
I got 2, you know.
Yeah. Excellent, man. Good stuff, Glenn.
So I don't know, man. I think we have high standards for ourselves, and we need to have grace with ourselves.
Grace, right.
And certainly we need to have grace with others. And I'm telling you, expectations are fuel of resentment. So the more you lower them, the better life is.
Let's go live it.
Go live it. Thanks, brother.
All right, bye.
Thanks for joining us for today's Coffee Chat. To contact the show, email us at podcast@sober.coffee. If you need immediate help, the AA hotline is 800-839-1686. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 800-273-8255. Remember, Mike and Glenn are sharing their own journey on the path to recovery. Any suggestions, medical or otherwise, are their own experiences and should not be viewed as professional advice. See you next week, and remember, there is a solution.